Yay. Hi, everybody. Welcome. It's Corinne, and I am, again, just so grateful for all of us taking the time to join together to study. We were just commenting how there's so many people from California on the call, and so you reminded me that I should mention we have one ticket left to the Community Miracle Center Conference in Los Angeles in May. That's Memorial Day weekend. And so if anybody's interested, please reach out. We've not hiked up the price. So yeah, that is that. That's my only announcement. Let's go ahead and transition into a period of meditation. So allowing your eyes to close if you are able. And just settling in and bringing your attention into your heart center and simply being willing to connect with a feeling of love. Whether you feel love in this moment or are simply just willing to feel love, it is the intention that matters. And just as we were talking before we began recording about imagining our group just filtering into a room and all saying hello to each other, we can imagine that jointly, all of us together are sinking deep into our being and joining in that space that we all share that transcends time, it transcends space, and it transcends the body. And the space deep within us is very real. It's where we learn of our home, of our true nature, and as we'll be reading about tonight, we learn of our will. Just imagining that we're joining in this space together. I'm simply resting here. This holy instant we give to you. Be you in charge, for we would follow you, certain that your direction gives us peace. If we need a word, a thought, or a tranquil open mind, these are the gifts that Holy Spirit gives. And we gladly place Holy Spirit in charge tonight by our request. And taking a nice, mindful, deep breath in and out. And coming together to our perception of right here, right now. Again, thank you to everyone for being here and for everyone who has joined us. We will be reading tonight a rather short section. In the complete and annotated edition, please go to page 879. It's called Your Boundless Will. In the Foundation for Inner Peace edition, it's chapter 30, part 2. It's called Freedom of Will. In the Sparkle edition, that is page 686, also Freedom of Will. And in the original edition by Course in Miracles Society, it is chapter 30, part 3, also called Freedom of Will. And again, in the CE, it's called your boundless will. So we will do as we usually do and take one paragraph at a time and we'll chat about it. So here we go. Do you not understand that to oppose the Holy Spirit is to fight yourself? He tells you but your will. He speaks for you. In his divinity is but your own. And all he knows is but your knowledge, save for you, that you may do your will through him. God asks you do your will. He joins with you. He did not set his kingdom up alone. And heaven itself but represents your will, where everything is created for you. No spark of life but was created with your glad consent as you would have it be. And not one thought that God has ever had but waited for your blessing to be born. God is no enemy to you. He asks no more than that he hear you call him friend. Before the call today, I reviewed the commentary that Robert Perry wrote as part of the Course Companions program that I've previously spoken about. And in that commentary, the first sentence he says, and I'm chuckling because it's so true. He wrote, this soaring and inspirational section follows directly on the pragmatic and down-to-earth rules for decision. So the last couple of weeks, we read all about the rules for decision. What happens if we get caught up in resistance to following Holy Spirit's guidance? So it was like almost very, we could say it was very concrete, very, very practical, pragmatic, as Robert wrote. And then here now we're talking like we just like, you know, went from very practical day to day to like, boom, 30,000 feet up with a much broader view here. So this is reminding us that God is no enemy to us. We can get stuck in resistance because we think that God's will is something else that we would not want. We might think that God has other plans than what we would like. And as the Course says, and we've talked about many times, the Course says, you know, we have that deep unconscious guilt, fear of God, because we believe we have done something wrong, which we haven't. But this paragraph is quite a reminder that God is no enemy to you. I mean, the sentences say that he didn't set up his kingdom alone. Heaven itself but represents your will where everything is created for you. And get this, no spark of life but was created with your glad consent as you would have it be. And this next sentence is so beautiful too. And not one thought that God has ever had but waited for your blessing to be born. So you really get this sense in this first paragraph just of the intertwined relationship that we have with God, down to like how we are created is completely of the same kind as God. So it's our mistaken thoughts that would say otherwise and would have us be thinking that we are, you know, not deserving of this or something other than what this is saying. But this is clearly saying, I mean, it says, he did not set up his kingdom alone. This is clearly speaking to the fact that we are co-creators with God. We, you, in the commentary, I just remembered this at the very end. Maybe we'll do this later. You know what? We just read this paragraph. We're going to do this right now. In Robert's commentary, he actually prompts us to reread this first paragraph with your name inserted. So I'm going to read it again. We're going to just do this right now. And so like You do not understand that to oppose the Holy Spirit is to fight yourself, Corinne. He tells you, Corinne, but your will. He speaks for you, Corinne. So I want you, as I read this, and I'll read this slowly, every time you hear the word you, I want you to think of your name as if Jesus is speaking directly to you, just to make this feel much more personal. So let's do this now. Do you not understand that to oppose the Holy Spirit is to fight yourself? He tells you, but your will. He speaks for you. In his divinity is but your own. And all he knows is but your knowledge, saved for you, that you may do your will through him. God asks you, do your will. He joins with you. He did not set his kingdom up alone. And heaven itself represents, excuse me, and heaven itself but represents your will, where everything is created for you. No spark of life, but was created with your glad consent, as you would have it be. And not one thought that God has ever had, but waited for your blessing to be born. God is no enemy to you. He asks no more than that he hear you call him friend. Isn't that powerful? Like, doesn't that make it just so much more personal that Jesus is speaking directly to you and saying that you are a co-creator with heaven? Heaven itself but represents your will, not the false will, not the ego's will, but your true will, deep down, not even deep down, but just beneath the surface of that false ego will, our real will, our true will, which we share with God, is just waiting for us to acknowledge it. Did anybody want to chime in?
Corinne, it's so funny. First read this paragraph, and I'm reading it along with you, I'm thinking to myself, I'm just not connecting with this. I don't get this. And then you give this example of putting your name. That was perfect. That was absolutely perfect. Thank you so much.
You are very welcome. The credit goes to Robert Perry because he is the one that prompted me. I read his commentary on this section, and that was his suggestion. He said that when he does that, he really connects to the material. And I did that when I was, try to read the section right before the call. So I just get it in, and I did that, and I was like, oh, wow, yes.
So, it makes all the difference in the world. Thank you so much.
You are very welcome.
I'm going back on mute.
Okay. I hope others of us had that same feeling that you just connect with it that much more when you are inserting your name and imagining that Jesus is speaking directly to you.
I actually felt it more the first time you read it without my
mm-hmm.
name, because for me, putting my name in kind of narrows it down. I feel better when I'm not.
Gotcha.
For me,
gotcha.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying. But
I have to tell you
something. When I'm on these calls, I never read along because I absorb them so 1,000 times better when I just listen.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm usually sitting here with my eyes closed, so I'm really taking it in. And after you read that paragraph the first time, that is just absolutely the most beautiful thing I have ever heard.
Mm.
In my life, and the last line just brought me to happy tears, filled with love for God. And I thought, I have to find this. So I reached over for my course, which is the CE edition. So you know how many pages are in that.
Uh-huh.
And there's nothing in it to make it open to any particular page. And I didn't even remember the page that you that you said. I knew it was 800 and something. So I reached for it, and as soon as I brought it over to me, it fell open to that paragraph.
Stop. I love it.
I had to tell you that.
I love it. It seems so little, but it's not.
No, it seems so huge. It's everything. Everything is in the things that might seem small on some level. Everything mm-hmm. is in it.
Yes, 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 Tanya. Oh, my goodness. Thank you for your beautiful words. I am right there with you that this is, like, just incredibly, incredible, like, the most beautiful thing I've ever heard. And like you just said, I'll read that last sentence. He asks no more than that he hear you call him friend.
Oh.
And just to think about God and say friend, like, just to, no words. Oh, Tanya, thank you for that. And thank you for sharing. You know, we're all going to connect with this through different avenues. Maybe it is through saying our name. It doesn't matter. What matters.
Yes, absolutely.
You know, what just matters is that we're showing up, we're willing, even if we're feeling like we're not connecting with the material, there is some level of your mind that is, and we have to trust that. That's for years. I've said this many times. I would just read until I understood something, and I was like, all right, I'm going to hope that part of me is getting this other stuff. I have no idea what it means, but the little kernels that do resonate were what kept me going. So even if we feel like we're not connecting, on some level you are, because you're here.
And I love that about the group. I love that about the group, that everybody, I love everybody here. I love that we're all getting it, and we're all getting it in our own way.
Mm-hmm. Me too. Me too.
What if you're feeling some resistance?
That's normal too. That is part of the process also. And, you know, we just spent the last 2 weeks, I think, on, you know, the whole last section is all about dealing with resistance. So it's normal. It is 100% clear. Not only completely normal, but it's expected. It's expected that resistance.
There's this one thing that my ego, I think, really wills, and I don't know if it's God's will. And my ego's like, no, I really want this. But I'm afraid that it's not God's will, and that means that I will lose it, and that God will take me in a different direction in his miracle, you know, and becoming a miracle worker.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So,
and that's a beautiful thing to be able to articulate and to, first of all, say, to acknowledge that that reflects a belief in sacrifice. Like, that reflects a deeply mm-hmm. held belief that we're going to be asked to sacrifice something. We're not going to be asked to sacrifice anything. We have to remember that whatever it is that we think we want, like on this level of form or desire, it all gets repurposed. So whatever that thing is, by offering it up to the Holy Spirit, we're in a sense saying, you know, take the ego out of it and show me the truth. And that experience, whatever that is, can be repurposed. So it's then used to help us awaken instead of keeping us asleep and tethered to the ego thought system. So seeing that underlying belief in sacrifice is something to uproot. It's something to say, oh, I see that. Holy Spirit, I'm willing to look at it with you. Here we go. Here's my, you know, all that stuff that the Course said about believing in sacrifice. Look, I just realized it. Like, yes, it's right there in my mind. So that's a great thing to uncover.
Mm. Great. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Corinne, this is John.
Hi, John.
Hi. You know, talking about, you know, not being able to relate or something. The hard thing for me was that last thing at the end there to call him friend. Because I don't know if that's the first time it says that in the course, probably not, but
I don't know.
Like, really, it's like friend because it's like I don't feel a friend seems like an equal, you know, and I think I still have that, you know, that God is our creator, so, you know, he's the greater, and which he is, but he's also can be on our level too, which is hard to imagine.
Right.
That one was a little like, can I accept that? You know, it's like, okay, I'm going to have to start calling him that. And I like that idea. I just never thought of him in that way, you know. I mean, I thought of him as father, not friend. You know, you don't think of your father as your friend. He's your dad and authoritative.
I get that. I get exactly what you're saying. And actually, if we look at the sentence right before that, that immediately precedes that sentence, God is no enemy to you. He asks no more than that he hear you call him friend. So there is still, God still is, you're absolutely right, our father and creator with capital C. But looking at that in context of what it's saying, you know, we have that sort of deep belief that God's will isn't ours, that God's sort of this, you know, enemy, the ego would say that God would be the enemy. And so in context, what's the opposite of an enemy but a friend? But you're absolutely right. God is the father, and so that sort of hierarchical thinking can definitely definitely throw us a bit with that word friend. But I hear what you're saying.
And now that you mentioned the enemy, it makes more sense. Friend. Wait a minute.
Yeah.
Even a capital F friend. So kind of like
right. Capital F friend. Our divine friend. Thank you. Mm-hmm. I'd like to add something to that.
Sure, Deanna, and then I heard whoever's voice that was will go next.
Because I love that last line. It brings me to tears. But the other part of it that just seems to go like the right hand and the left hand goes together. Created with your glad consent as you would have it be. Now, the split mind part of me, the egoic mind part of me, has a very independent, strong-willed. I think I came out of my mother's womb smoking a cigar and drinking a martini as far as my will goes. And so it's very easy for me to look at my resistance, and I don't like being forced or manipulated in any way. Mm-hmm. I really put on my brakes on that.
Mm-hmm.
And then as I read this, created with your glad consent as you would have it be. So that tells me there's a deep part of me that is so in line with God that I don't really know that part yet, but that God would not have created me if I hadn't consented to it.
Mm.
And so he values me. He values my consent.
Mm-hmm.
He calls me friend. He would have to call me friend to want my friendship.
Mm.
That speaks very deeply to me, that there is nothing that the path, that this path requires, that there's not this deep part of me that has already consented to it.
Mm-hmm.
And that I want to go home.
Mm-hmm. That gave me goosebumps. Thank you, Deanna, for highlighting that very, very important point that just so speaks to the fact that it might seem like you just articulated that we might have very strong wills, a lot of resistance, but there's this deep, deep part of us that we might not know
we're getting to know it, and it's that deep part that is still not only in alignment, but friend to God, shares, recognizes that it shares our will with God. And so highlighting what you just highlighted is just incredibly, that was very just spot on. I love how you said that. Thank you for that. There was another person who wanted to share something. I wasn't able to tell whose voice that was.
I'm going to say that with that last line of calling him friend, I just see this whole paragraph being about not being afraid of God, not fearing him. So you don't,
mm-hmm.
if he's a friend of yours, you don't fear him.
Mm-hmm.
So you shouldn't fear that you're being asked to do anything that you don't want. And just along those lines of that, I think that's what, to me, that's what it's trying to convey. That
yeah.
He's a friend, don't be afraid of what's being asked.
Yes, I agree. Who is this?
It's Blanca.
Blanca, I thought it was you. I just wanted to make sure. Thank you. Thank you for that point. Let's go ahead and read the next paragraph. How wonderful it is to do your will, for that is freedom. There is nothing else that ever should be called by freedom's name. Unless you do your will, you are not free. And would God leave his son without what he has chosen for himself? God but ensured that you would never lose your will when he gave you his perfect answer. That's with a capital A. Hear it now, that you may be reminded of his love and learn your will. God would not have his son made prisoner to what he does not want. He joined with you in willing you be free. And to oppose him is to make a choice against yourself and choose that you be bound. Oh, how wonderful it is to do your will, for that is freedom. There is nothing else that ever should be called by freedom's name. Unless you do your will, you are not free. How powerful is that? So unless we are willing with God, unless we are in that place where we recognize that God's will and our will are the same, we're not actually free because we are willing, unlike our Father. We're listening to that false will, the ego's false will, and nothing in that is free. That's our big confusion. We think that our own independent sense of self makes us free. We think that if we can choose to do this, this, and that, we are in freedom, we're doing this ourselves, and yet we've got it completely backwards. That's where we're bound. That's where we are not free, because we're under the ego's tyranny. We're subjecting ourselves to laws, quote unquote, laws of a chaotic world that makes absolutely no sense. And that can't be freedom. The fact that it isn't freedom is why the world is so chaotic and why the world is so insane. So instead, our freedom comes in recognizing our complete and utter dependence on God, our complete joint will with God, our complete, the fact that we were created by God. That's where our freedom lies, our freedom to be a co-creator in heaven with God. That's where our freedom lies. So that is just part of the ego's profound confusion, that we have switched it to think that freedom is something other than our own will. And I love how it says in the middle of this paragraph, God but ensured that you would never lose your will when he gave you his perfect answer. I love it when the Course refers to the Holy Spirit as his answer. So that's answer with a capital A. So that's talking about the Holy Spirit, and it goes on to say, hear it now. So hear the Holy Spirit now, that you may be reminded of his love and learn your will. So this is how we remember our will. This is how we remember God's love, by learning to listen or follow, whatever word you want to use. I don't mean listen with the body's ears, but turning to the Holy Spirit, listening to the Holy Spirit, allowing ourselves to be guided by the Holy Spirit, which is what the whole section before this that we just read is about, dealing with resistance to listening to the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is everything. It is our way, that it is God's answer for our way out of hell, or our pathway to remembering the truth. Oh, comments or questions about this paragraph? And the last sentence even speaks to the same thing, to oppose him. So to oppose him, which we're not really doing, but we think we have by listening to the ego, is to make a choice against yourself and choose that you be bound. Because then what happens if we're opposing God and listening to ego? We're being bound. We're binding ourselves to the quote-unquote laws of this insane world. And that's not freedom. Oh, no. You know, some of us might recognize, I mean, Dana, you just said before, you know, you came out of your mother's womb smoking a cigar, like, just that we can have very strong wills. Think of just the power of what happens when we repurpose. So like the strengths of the ego, let's say having a strong will or a strong opinion or a desire to be a performer in front of large groups of people. I can't tell you how many Course in Miracles teachers I've met that wanted to be a famous actor. And they've repurposed their talents to be used by the Holy Spirit instead to teach A Course in Miracles. I gave the example last week about Kevin Rice, who used to be the evangelical minister, the evangelical preacher. And when he discovered A Course in Miracles, he let his preacher skills and abilities be repurposed by Holy Spirit. So now he's teaching truth. Now he's teaching from the Course. So it's, you know, having a strong will can seem to be hard in some ways, because it seems like, you know, damn it, we want it our way. But when we repurpose our will, if we have a strong will that we allow to be repurposed, we will move mountains. We will literally move mountains, because we're now allowing that ego strength to be repurposed, retranslated into being a strength used by the Holy Spirit for our awakening. And that's all I got for paragraph two. Any other comments before we go to paragraph three? All right, let's read paragraph number three. Look once again upon your enemy, the one you chose to hate instead of love. For thus was hatred born into the world, and thus the rule of fear established here. Now hear God speak to you through him, who is his voice and yours as well, reminding you that it is not your will to hate and be a prisoner to fear, a slave to death, a little creature with a little life. Your will is boundless. It is not your will that it be bound. What lies in you has joined with God himself in all creation's birth. Remember him who has created you and through your will created everything. So, can we all call to mind somebody that we maybe hate is a strong word. Maybe you can already think of somebody that you hate or have strong feelings of aversion toward or judgment toward or just frustration, maybe anger toward that other person. And think of them as we read this. Look once again upon your enemy, the one you chose to hate instead of love. For thus was hatred born into the world, and thus the rule of fear established here. Now hear God speak to you through him who is his voice and yours as well, reminding you that it is not your will to hate and be a prisoner to fear, a slave to death, a little creature with a little life. I will share another little bit here. Let me just see if I can find it real quick in this commentary. I want to read this. So this is an exercise that I believe was born out of the section, the paragraph that we just read. Bring someone to mind whom you dislike, as I just mentioned, so you probably already thought of them, or maybe you hold just some sort of grievance against them, somebody we might think of as an enemy. This commentary says, realize that your decision to hate this person is imprisoning you in this cruel world. Your hatred is the cause of all the suffering you experience. Now, hear God speak to you through the Holy Spirit. And these are the words. It is not your will to hate and be a prisoner to fear, a slave to death, a little creature with a little life. Your will is boundless. It is not your will that it be bound. Your will, joined with mine, created everything in love. Therefore, your will is only to love this brother with the boundless love you share with me. The exercise goes on to say, now let the love that is your true will extend from you to this person. And you can do this in your mind by thinking of this person that you identified and imagine your true will, love, extending from you to them. And then see this person beam with gratitude both for the healing love you have just given and for the fact that your will joined and for the fact that by your will, joined with his, he was born. So isn't that powerful to think about how our hatred, and whatever form it might be a mild irritation or a mild whatever, judgment, condemnation, it's all hatred. It's either love or fear, love or hate. Your hatred is the cause of all the suffering you experience. So isn't that motivation enough to want to see that brother differently, no matter what we perceive that they may have done? So I thought that was a pretty powerful exercise. And the little creature with a little life, heck, that's the body. that's the ego. That's how we identify here, a little creature with a little life. It's pretty sad.
Can I ask you a question?
Please.
So what I'm going to say something, then I would appreciate your comment on it.
Okay.
What comes to me and what I've experienced in practicing this type of thing is, however resistant I am to forgiving or letting go of, hatred is a strong word, but hatred.
Mm-hmm.
It seems to directly correlate to how willing am I to release this idea of who I think I am.
Mm-hmm.
I can only forgive somebody if I'm willing to let go of how I'm seeing myself.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So what do you... Can you take that further? What do you think about that?
Well, what comes to mind immediately is just the simple fact that if we're seeing someone as a body, as mistaken as whatever, that immediately binds us. We're seeing through our own ego. And if we're seeing through our own ego, we are binding ourselves to the body, to the small identity, to death, to sickness, to all the quote-unquote laws. They're not really laws of the world. So you're spot on. You remind me, actually, of that prayer from Nook Sanchez that we've referenced many times. I love it. Holy Spirit, help me to forgive myself for using so-and-so to attack myself and to separate from your love as my holy self. So that prayer has always been so powerful for me because it is accepting responsibility that we use the other to attack ourselves, to keep our own awareness of truth out of our mind. So forgiveness is undoing that. Forgiving someone, truly forgiving someone else, is releasing who we think we are. It is directly, I think you're hitting the nail on the head. It's like directly proportional to being willing to release the small sense of identity that we're carrying around. So I love that, Tanya. Did you want to add anything else?
Well, no. I mean, yeah, I really appreciate everything that you said. And what's occurring to me is, for me, what it feels like is it's really not even ever. And maybe what I'm saying right now is really obvious. But it's not ever about the other person. It's just kind of like I'm using that as a front for how afraid I am to get real and get really honest about, I'm not really ready to let go of my ego right now. So I'm sort of distracting myself with, well, you're doing this to me. And so for me, it feels like that's where my work is. Rather than looking at the other person and thinking about forgiving them, I feel like if I get really real and say, look, you know, Tanya, is this really who you think you are? Because if it is, then you can live this drama, but this is an ego drama. Or you can open up and let go and let the Holy Spirit really teach you who you are. And when that happens, there's no way I can look at the person who I thought of and feel any animosity for her. I mean, right now I can picture just seeing nothing but glowing light around her. And of course I love her, but it has only everything to do with how I'm seeing myself. And using her is a way to keep myself, you know, kind of safe and in this what I think is a comfort zone of remaining
absolutely.
In the ego.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yep. I think you're spot on. I think you are spot on. That was really helpful for all of us to hear. It just that really simple statement has so much truth in it. You spot it, you got it. Like when you're pointing one finger at them, there's three fingers on your hand. You know, if I'm pointing my pointer finger out, my middle ring and pinky finger are pointing back at me. So, yeah, you spot it, you got it. It's our work to do. And it reminds me of that statement also in the course about how if you're seeing the errors of your brother's ego, you must be seeing through your own. And there is the work. There is the responsibility. There is the shift that needs to come in. So thank you for that, Tanya. That was really helpful. Oh, wow. Good stuff. Okay, shall we go on to paragraph number 4?
Corinne, it's Annalie from Melbourne.
Hi.
I'm just feeling to... Hi, how are you? I got on a bit later, but I'm loving the content of the call today, and I'm really feeling called to ask you and everyone in the call if you would join me in that forgiveness prayer, because I'm really struggling forgiving someone right now, and I just really felt called to just do it right now in the present moment.
Let's do it together. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Let's do
and
it.
And I'll leave it to you because I'll mute myself because it's noisy here. Thank you.
Okay. Sounds good. Thank you so much for prompting us to do this. So I'm sure all of us can think of someone where, again, there's some kind of grievance. So whoever the person is that comes to mind, we're going to use that prayer. I believe, Annalie, you were referring to the Nook Sanchez, the Holy Spirit helped me to forgive myself. So that's what we're going to do.
Yes,
so,
that's right.
Okay,
yes.
Perfect. First, I'd like to just prompt us to feel one another joined in our circle on our call, keeping in mind the power that comes, Jesus in the Course. The Course is teaching us that where two or more are joined, the ego stands no chance. Healing is certain. And guess what? There's a lot more than two of us on this call. So I want us all to imagine being in this circle, and we are doing this forgiveness work together, willing to release maybe even our biggest challenge. Maybe even it can be a small grievance or a big one. But let's go for it, and let's do this together. And I'll share the prayer as you do this in your own mind. Holy Spirit, help me to forgive myself for unknowingly having used so-and-so to attack myself and to separate from your love as my holy self. And I'll say that again. Holy Spirit, help me to forgive myself for having used so-and-so, for having unknowingly used so-and-so to attack myself and to separate from your love as my holy self. I no longer want to separate from your love. I want to know my holy self, and I will come to know my holy self by forgiving myself and by forgiving this other for simply having played a role that I signed up, that I signed them up, that they agreed to play to help me close the gap between the two of us. So in our hearts, just holding this intention to no longer want to separate from God's love and holding your willingness in your heart to close the gap between you and your brother. There is no gap between us, and grievances keep that gap in place. We can only come to know our true self through our willingness to allow that gap to be closed, that seeming gap, which isn't really there. And let's just pause here for a moment. I'm just staying in this willingness to know God's love. For it is given and it is ours. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Annalie. Thank you so much. So we're all joined in the same purpose. And how powerful is that? We have two paragraphs left for this section. I just heard a voice.
Yeah, yes, Corinne?
Yes.
This is Carl.
Hi, Carl.
Hi. I just wanted to address this section where you were talking about the one you chose to hate instead of love. I'm just, before the call, I was just in a church for prayer, and I recall I've had a lot of amazing experiences, and one of which was in 1984 after a challenging situation with my father. I vowed that I would change the legacy of the male members of my family. Mm. And now there were five of us, myself, my brother, two and three cousins, and there are only two of us left. And I had a very challenging situation with my brother. We ended up living, the two of us living in my mother's house for the last 10 years or so. And he was an alcoholic and suffered from depression. And there were many instances in which he would attack me. Mostly he would attack my sisters, and that would drive me into a really intense rage towards him, which I never really acted out on because I knew if I did, we would have probably killed each other. Mm-hmm. But, you know, through the course, there were occasions that I was able to have civil, sane, non-judgmental conversations with him. Mm-hmm. But he, this past June, succumbed to his alcoholism and depression, and he died, suffered a cardiac arrest in the middle of the night one night, and I was there to call the, you know, the ambulance and everything, and, you know, but he had just lost too much oxygen to the brain, and, you know, he just, you know, that was it. 2 days later, he was taken off life support and died, you know, within minutes. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm still working on, you know, forgiving myself for, you know, not being kinder. In fact, I was just thinking of this in the church, that I, you know, not being kinder and gentler to, or more compassionate towards him in his final days. The last really sane civil conversation I had with him was maybe a month or so before he died. It was just kind of a, you know, inconsequential chat about sports related developments, you know. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so it's still, you know, I'm still working my way through, you know, forgiving, you know, because there were many times when I was in an intense periods of hatred towards him, you know. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's just, you know, working my way to, you know, forgiving him for, you know, it was his choice. We all tried to help him, you know, get him into AA and different forms of therapy and counseling, but he pretty much rejected all of that. And, mm-hmm. you know, so I'm still working on, you know, forgiving myself, I feel, for, you know, maybe not being as kind and as compassionate towards him as I would have preferred to have been in his, you know, last month or so.
Yeah. Mhm. Mhm. Oh, Carl, thank you for sharing. I, you know, it's all for the learning. There's no mistakes. It's, I think, you know, we can learn a lot from reflecting, but this is absolutely a self-forgiveness opportunity, and I feel prompted. I'm not quite sure why, but I feel prompted to recommend a book that we've referenced before on the call called The Afterlife of Billy Fingers. It's about a woman whose brother was an alcoholic and I believe a drug addict and got into all sorts of trouble and caused all sorts of trouble in the family during his life and died. I don't remember exactly how, if he was hit by a car or what happened, but she could still hear his voice. And I just feel prompted to just recommend that book because perhaps there's something in there that could be helpful. Because again, the ego will use the ego will use anything to increase our sense of guilt. And A Course in Miracles is about not guilty. It's about showing us of our complete innocence, period, across the board. So any guilt that seems to pop up surrounding this is just the ego trying to get in there again, because we have to remember, the Course says also, the happy learner cannot feel guilty about learning. Your relationship with him, things that happened, was part of our learning, and it's important that we not feel guilty over it. And if we do, we can recognize that that guilt is of ego, not of God, and we can be willing once again to choose for Holy Spirit. So thank you, Carl, for sharing that.
Yeah.
I really appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you. It's the afterlife of Billy Singer?
Fingers, like on your hands. The afterlife of Billy Fingers.
Billy Fingers. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Carl.
And I think it's important to remember that true forgiveness is that we aren't separate at all, and that, you know, my brother is me, and that's how I can forgive myself for having projected a brother who seemed to be hateful or, you know, upsetting, that's the forgiveness of self in that way as well.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Thank you. Let's go ahead and read the final two paragraphs, so we'll wrap up this section for tonight. It seems like, yeah, we'll go a little bit over our time, so if you need to go, that's totally fine, but I'm going to go ahead and finish this up. Not one created thing, but gives you thanks, for it was by your will that it was born. No light of heaven shines except for you, for it was set in heaven by your will. What cause have you for anger in a world which merely waits your blessing to be free? If you be prisoner, then God himself could not be free. For what is done to him whom God so loves is done to God himself. Think not he wills to bind you, who has made, that's a comma, not a period. Sorry, I'm going to read that again. Think not he wills to bind you, who has made you co-creator of the universe along with him. He would but keep your will forever and forever limitless. The world awaits the freedom you will give when you have recognized that you are free. But you will not forgive the world until you have forgiven him who gave your will to you, for it is by your will the world is given freedom. Nor can you be free apart from him whose holy will you share. God turns to you to ask the world be saved, for by your own salvation is it healed. And no one walks upon the earth but must depend on your decision that he learn death has no power over him, because he shares your freedom as he shares your will. It is your will to heal him, and because you have decided with him, he is healed. And now is God forgiven, for you chose to look upon your brother as a friend. So the only idea I think that comes up in my mind at the moment just to share is, where is the sentence that we just read? It hints at forgiving God. And when I was reading it, I was like, is this actually saying we need to forgive God? And here at the very end, it's clear. And now is God forgiven, for you chose to look upon your brother as a friend. So we forgive God for not giving us the seeming freedom that we're seeking through the ego. God has given freedom, but it's through God. Now is God forgiven, for you have chose to look upon your brother as a friend. So in choosing to see our brothers as friends, we are recognizing God as friend. We are recognizing our true nature, our true self. And as it says, it is your will to heal him because you have decided with him. Excuse me. It is your will to heal him. And because you have decided with him, he is healed. So in other words, this is how healing happens, through releasing who it is we think our brother is, who it is we think we are, and in that process, does healing happen? Is God forgiven? And do we, and in that process, we recognize our oneness and our complete and perfect innocence, which is right now. So just take that with you as our takeaway, our final statement, that you are completely and wholly innocent right now. There's nothing that you need to do to establish that. You are completely innocent right now. All right, folks. That's that for the week. So I love you all. I am so grateful. Group huddle, group hug. Imagine that we've been using the image of our group tonight a lot. And so just imagine that we're all coming together and doing a nice big group hug. So thank you everyone for being here. I love you all. And I will see you next week.
Thank
Have
you.
A good
thank
week,
you.
Everyone.
You
thank
are
you,
wonderful.
Love you.
Love you.
Bye. Bye everyone.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye.